Rise and shine, St. Louis. It's the Ryan Kelly Morning After with Tim McKernan, Jimmy the Cat Hayes, and Doug Vaughn. It's time to start your day off right. Now, here's Tim, Jim, and Doug, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios on the all-new 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
7:03 in St. Louis, you are listening to the Ryan Kelly Morning After on the all-new 590 The Fan, KFNS, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com. And you very well might be podcasting like the Dickens. Timothy Michael McKernan, Jimmy the Cat Hayes, Douglas Elvin Vaughn with you, and a producing team of millions that has formed the Plow Iggy Monster, broadcasting live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios. Welcome to an award-winning presentation that will inform and perhaps provoke opinions that you didn't know you had, but because of our perspective that is better than yours, you will come away at 10 o'clock well-informed.
Well, there's going to be a good share of people that hear your opinion, no matter how ill-founded it might be, that will ring the bell and say, that's my new opinion.
And you said we were award-winning. Have we won any awards yet?
Yeah, Tim's dad presented us with an award at the golf tournament for best radio show ever.
Yep, he did.
And it said Tim McKernan and his band of idiots. That was unfortunate.
It didn't say band of idiots. It said Tim McKernan crew.
Speaking of the tournament, did you win it, Tim?
No, all of us performed below what we all, I think, would say would be our average. My dad was really down on how he played, and I have seen him play pretty well at times over the last few months. Since I've come out of retirement, I played terribly, but I got golf lessons last week, and so I'm kind of in the midst of trying to work on some things.
Transformation.
And that can throw you off. I brought in a ringer, and she didn't perform up to what she thought she normally would do. I just met her 24 hours beforehand, so I don't know what she does. All I know is she played college golf at Indiana State, and she was waiting on me at Billy G's on Thursday, and one of my players had backed out because of scheduling conflict, and Greg at Billy G's said, hey, she hits a ball 250 down the middle, and I'm thinking red tees, knowing what Iggy's got up his sleeve with Lizzie Utoff, I thought, here's how I'm going to counter that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh.
Just like DL3 is the Ryder Cup captain, I put her on the team. And then Steve Stoles, a great American and a very good golfer. And I think all four of us would say we probably didn't play our best. We still shot 8 under, which I guess was decent. It's kind of surprising to me. But I know the winning score was 15 under par on Friday at the Lemmings Open. And that was put together by Drew Jolly. And I believe the name of the team was the Mike Lee's Milkmen.
No fooling.
And Drew used to work at Inside STL on 920. Great guy. And played college hockey. And I don't know if sometimes those hockey guys, because of the swing motion, if they can crush it. But 15 under par. I don't know what Skip Berkmeyer and the guy with the course record, Jennings' team, but they weren't really, I think, involved as far as the rest of the tournament goes.
Meaning they weren't competing as serious.
Yes, exactly. I'm sure they could go more than 15 under if need be. But it was a beautiful day. 30-plus foursomes. I think 38 were registered. It was a lovely day. Iggy, how did your team do?
We shot 9 under, Tim. We weren't... our short game was awful. Lizzie played well. First two holes, she drove the green just off the green. Couldn't get up and down for birdie. We parred a par 5 when we were pin high and 2 off the green.
Yeah, we were 1 under on the 3 or 4 par 5s.
Yeah, our short game just sucked.
I guess we were 2 under. There's 4 par 5s at Normandy. We were 2 under.
Yeah, I mean, we could have shot 16 under. We just couldn't. Our short game. And then
Doug, you got to hit putts.
Cletus had to leave, so we were shorthanded a man. So,
you know what, though?
It was fun, though.
Everyone was a winner. I was there. It was fun. And then if you go to the, I believe it's the morning after Twitter feed, there's a couple of beautiful pictures of you, Tim, that I thought were suitable to have an oil painting, a la that other one that they brought in.
Yeah, that
one you were lining up a putt.
Yeah, we missed that putt, Doug. That's at number 18 at Normandy. And my dad put us 10 feet within the cup. That's not easy to do at number 18 at Normandy. That's a 235-yard par 3.
That's a tough hole to start on, too.
Yeah,
and well, you look great. The putt. And then there's one of you and Ken Bone and Anne-Marie that I thought, if anything is suitable for framing, it's that one.
Yeah, that's my current Facebook profile picture, me, Anne-Marie, and Ken Bone. And I thought it was kind of like, at this point, it's kind of like Jay Leno material. It's kind of, you know, overplayed and whatever. But people like that picture like the Dickens. That Ken Bone, they still can't get enough of him, Doug. It's eight days old. They still can't get enough of him.
Well, so they did try to destroy him on social media a little bit.
They did after the Reddit thing. So he was there, and he answered questions about the Reddit thing to clarify on Friday. But he couldn't have been more friendly and more accommodating in taking pictures with all of the golfers at the Lemmings Open. And I believe just from the pictures that he took, we raised $600 just from the pictures.
That's great.
From the pictures alone.
And that was his idea and his operation. Was there really a film crew following
him
around?
Yes, there was. I had to sign a release. I think anybody who was in any of the shots had to sign releases.
Isn't it strange that there was a guy that just, he merely asked one question on the debate. And then he shows up at a golf tournament. There he is. There's the man. Here he comes. I want my picture with him.
I thought it was funny. If you saw his shirt tail seemed to always be coming out.
Yeah.
And
part of the charm.
At one point, he came up to our group to say hi and take pictures. And the film crew, I saw Ken over in the woods. I said, "Is he taking a leak?" And the film crew kept telling him, "You got to tuck your shirt in." Yeah. So they were actually telling him how to dress.
Yeah. Well, he's got to be him. Right? That's one of his charms.
Yes. That's why we love him. Yeah.
Your thoughts are welcome anytime. You can call in on this radio program, 855-282-8255. Store that in your phone and become a regular. And you really get to ask questions and also give us your perspective. 855-CUB-TALK. Call in or text in to prevent Angry Blues Fan. I want to make sure that we talk about the Blues as quickly as possible. Because they're the Tea Party of fan bases. Doug, the Blues are now 3-0. If you take a look at the four teams that were in the conference finals, 3-0, 2-0, 2-0, 2-0. Sharks, Lightning, Penguins, and Blues. That's a combined, I can do the math.
Okay.
9-0.
Wow, and they played tough teams, too. Chicago, Mini, the Rangers, those are good
Rangers
teams.
Rangers were really good. Yeah. That was a good win for the Blues.
Despite what took place in the third period, which was a whole lot of nothing and some injuries, the Blues were able to hold on despite getting outshot. What, 13-0? Do you say nil?
I don't, no. You might want to try to get away with it in soccer. It shouldn't be spoken in hockey, no. So let's not say that anymore.
3-0.
Fantastic start. It equals their best start in franchise history.
Nice. Mm-hmm. It equals it.
Yeah. Yeah, I think they've gone 3-0 before. I don't even know. I'm just assuming they have over 50 years. They've had at least one other season when they went 3-0. And if they haven't, I'll just claim that they did. It's a darn fine start. I wasn't able to watch much of it. Just
Why?
Peaked.
Why?
Well, I was in Columbia at that father-son thing. It wasn't really a dance. It wasn't a dance.
Any handsome fathers ask you to dance? Did anyone even joking around ask you to dance?
Yes.
Did they really?
I was asked to dance.
Wow, wow, wow.
It's a very
hot shots, hot take, Bill.
I didn't really consider it a romantic situation. I had a beer in my hand and a cheeseburger in my hand. I'm standing next to a table with the potato chips on them. Wasn't any music being played. Guys were standing around talking about manly things like our service records and rebuilding automobile engines, that sort of thing. And then this gentleman asked me to dance.
How old was he, bro?
Oh, I've 40-something, 50-something, maybe.
That's right. Right when you're starting to come into your bi curiosity.
No, no.
Guy hits 40 and he starts wanting to sleep with guys.
I don't know that that's the case.
Did you dance?
We didn't dance, of course. There wasn't even any music playing.
I know, but
not
sometimes
that it would have made a difference. We didn't dance.
Sometimes two hearts that have found each other can create their own music.
Wasn't that
We've
situation
seen that
at
that.
All?
Mm-mm.
I mentioned a plowboy as you were walking in that you were walking kind of gingerly.
Now, what does that mean?
It just means you look like you were hurt.
No, I wasn't injured at all.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
I drank more than I've had to drink in the last year and a half.
Oh, wow. Look at you. When was this? Was it on Friesman or something?
Both.
Wow, look at you, Pony Show. Where'd you guys have booze?
Oh, kind of all over the place.
Look at you again.
At the rooftop there on the Broadway Hotel and at my house, the new bar there. And
where's that?
Harpo's. I had to go back to Harpo's. I hadn't been there in 30 years. So, yeah, too much for me.
Where's my house? I'm not familiar with this.
You know where Bengals was?
Yeah.
Apparently, they sold Bengals because they're going to build a hotel or apartment building, something right there.
They need hotels down there.
Yeah. And so they the owners rebuilt a brand new bar just a block or two away from it.
And now, and when you're out at a bar in Columbia, do people say, hey, there's that Doug Vaughn. I'm going to go up and say hi and say I'm a fan of his work on the radio.
Of a few people.
Yeah.
From St. Louis. A few people. Sure. It's nice.
Did you hear any free dotums?
Yes. Of course. In fact, I did. I heard a couple free dotums.
Did you see the picture that was posted with Anderson Cooper and Andy Cohen?
I saw that. Photoshopped?
Nope. I believe Buck Swope somehow was responsible for that.
Can I see it?
You haven't seen it?
I haven't seen it. I'm not on the fan pin.
I think I tweeted it out. I don't tweet all that often anymore, so it should be right at the top. Yeah, it's my last tweet.
Wouldn't it be dangerous for those two guys to hold a sign like that, not knowing what it meant, for fear that it meant something sinister?
There they are, the cat.
Well, obviously, that's unbelievable. Yeah. How did someone get that?
Bumper sticker, probably.
It is a bumper sticker, baby.
No, I'm saying
just disappointing.
Not how did they get a well-known celebrity to hold that?
I don't have any idea. I didn't know the picture
existed. It just shows the reach of the movement.
It's disappointing that they're also not to
where it all started.
Law and order. They would want to promote vile and filth and that sort of thing, not only here but throughout our region.
Who's Dinky Dotum? I don't get that.
That's a reasonable question.
The only thing I would put over the top is if it was like a major golf event and someone yelled it. That's really what would solidify the movement, make sure.
I'm not sure it's ever happened. I don't know that we have any audio proof that sort of thing has ever happened.
Why does it take so long to pull up drops, Plowhawk? Because we can do something about it. The old place, I don't have full control, Doug, but no, I have some influence, and it seems like it's a little slow.
No, this one's not it's not saved as a drop. It's saved in our audio fun folder because it was a full clip. And so you have to decipher when it actually happened, but it'll take a minute. Most of the time, pretty easy. However, this is a clip that was yet to be saved into a drops folder.
Well, timing's not really that important, I guess.
So can it be saved in a drops folder?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I just need to cut the free dotum part. Yeah.
Well, that was easy to solve.
All right. Okay, but we haven't got it yet.
We could probably put a 360 machine in here and just that can load like 50.
Yeah.
That just has...
No, I remember that. The boys from the Atlantic group put that in. I remember that. That was one of the... They did two things well. They threw good events and they had the 360 machine.
Oh, the old 360.
And I remember thinking, well, what's the big deal about this thing? But it actually was helpful for those of you who enjoy drops.
Yeah. You can put like 50 on there and they're all... labeled, so you're looking right down at it and hit it in the place.
Well, I know, in fairness, they were also really good at coming up with bits.
Were they?
Mickelson trying to light up the crowd again. Birdie to win the hole.
Okay, we've come full circle.
Guys, Swope's Picks was the best this Saturday. That's from the 314.
Oh, what was it about now?
I have not listened to it yet, but it is because it automatically, I'm a subscriber to Swope's Picks on iTunes, so it is in me phone. And I'm looking forward to it. This was, Doug, based on Ask Lawrence and the history behind Ask Lawrence. I see we have the mashup. Do we have some of the clips from it?
I was unable to listen to the late night program because I worked at Billy G's Satter's Bat and Sun's Bin.
Right. But as far as when you got in this morning.
Oh, that was cold.
Right.
And you know what? He threw out that excuse with a little smile on his face.
Right.
And you immediately called.
Well, it wasn't a real, it wasn't a real tough hand to win the pot on. Guys, Cucky's show was the best this week. That's my call. Doug, there's dueling weekend programming late at night.
Now, I missed that program as well.
That's called The Changing Station.
All right.
And Cucky was there on Friday. And he had a normal size shirt when he arrived, but he had cut it to a half shirt by the time he teed off.
And it was a nice shirt. I saw he had the scissors. He
yeah,
was
but it's nicer
scissors.
When it's a half shirt.
He was scissoring like the Dickens to cut the shirt in half.
You know what? We can point out Cucky, who might be a little bit different. And when I say different, I mean creative.
Right.
But most of our listeners that I ran into, Doug, and we spent a little time walking through the crowd together, very nice people, very normal people.
Yeah, some of them are normal.
Most of
yeah,
them.
Yeah, there's a few.
And there's a few that are what I would term creative.
Nice. You know, Hall of Famer Dave said to me, and I posted this on the fan pin on Saturday morning, he said, you know, one of the best things about these events is that everybody just seems to be pretty cool. And I'm not talking about, like, you know, who's the coolest guy of all time? Fonzie, I guess? Lexington Steel? One of the two.
I don't know the second fellow.
I would go with Vinny Pazienza. It's a pretty good one.
But
James Bond?
But as far as is just, like, just not looking to flash. You know what I mean? Not parties in the park in it. Not looking
no
to
pretense.
There you go. Thank you, sir. You just win.
No pretense was the key.
Well, it's true. They were just regular
time
people.
And nobody's really looking to, like, you know, cause crap. It's just, you know.
I think part of it is you have to be somewhat humbled by the fact that whatever it is attracted you to this radio show isn't necessarily a cool trick. You know what I mean? So there's a little humility like from the people that it's like, I like the show. I don't know why.
It's kind of like a Trump rally where you don't really want to be known that you're supporting it. I'll keep a low profile here. Maybe people won't really know that I listen all the time. I just like to kind of golf. They're open about what they want to do in a gay sort of prison rape kind of sequence. Well, there's that. Where'd that come from? Is that taken out of context?
It came from your lips, sir.
Yes, it did.
It had to have been taken out of context and edited together.
No, sir.
That's generally not the sort of conversation that I would engage in.
Sounds hot, bro.
It wasn't that hot.
Doug, the appliances counter phone lines are open. People can recap their weekends, the golf tournament experience. The number is 855-282-8255. 855-282-8255. 855-CUP-TALK. Introducing the new Man Cave Cardinal Cooler promotion from the Appliances Counters, the Appliances Counter phone lines, the Appliances Counters raffling off a Cardinal Mini for it stacked with Bud Light for your man cave. The promotion ends on October 19th at noon, so hustle up. We're approaching October 19th. Sign up for your chance to win it now at InsideSTL.com, the Appliances Counters, where our savings are your savings, and you can get extra entries by liking the Appliances Counters on Facebook, liking Inside STL on Facebook, entering your email address, sharing this contest on Facebook, and sharing the contest on Twitter. It's right there on the front page of InsideSTL.com. Your captain's log. We would have a Blues guest, but the Blues are out on the west coast of Canada this week. They will be taking on the Canucks, the Oilers, and the Flames before they head back to St. Louis and take on the Flames again, but three games out on the road for the Western Canadian road swing, so that makes it difficult to get Blues players, media, when they're out in British Columbia, but nonetheless, they are with us next week. When they're back in St. Louis, as you will see Kit Ells and Troy Brower back in St. Louis on Tuesday, but out in Vancouver, Edmonton, and Calgary this week as they try to continue the march to 82-0. We will be joined by the Colonel Gabriel P. DeArmond of PowerMizzou.com as Missouri now improves to 6-0 on the season with a win at Florida. What was the final?
6-0.
40-14, they beat the Gators. The offense
they lost
good.
To the Gators.
What? Clear Eyes, Gold Pants can't lose.
Mm. Well, they lost. They lost.
But you know, fun to watch.
They're not even competitive anymore.
What?
The program has come full circle. We're back to the mid-90s now.
You know what I noticed? I watched that game because I was like,
home. Did you really?
I'm going to watch it. And I was
watch
so
the game
disappointed.
And I watched some of it. I'm just like, they're horrible.
Two things really struck me. And I know Drew Locke has huge upside, but guys drop passes or he doesn't even throw it near them. And also, I mean,
he throws them near the opposition.
It's one or the other. Like when he does throw a pass, it's not caught. And most of the time, it's not even near them. And then, Brent Musburger really wanted to be doing the Alabama game.
Yeah, I saw you tweeting about that.
Because it was like, he was like so monotone, like for the Missouri game.
Well, he's been calling a lot of Missouri games over the last couple years, and that can't be fun.
But still, then he's like, and how about that Alabama? He was giving, like, updates.
And that was a terrible game itself.
But he was screaming about every play as if that's the game he would prefer to be doing. I was kind of taken aback.
It's on a competing network.
Right?
You know, it's not on an ABC Family and Network. Disney Family and Networks was on CBS.
How about selling a little for the people watching the game that you're doing? That's
Missouri. Good football teams. Those college teams are good, huh?
No.
What are you going to do this year? I think pretty good stuff, huh?
Drew Locke was 4 of 18. He had a 0.8 quarterback rating.
And there were
that's about as bad as I've ever seen.
I mean, and it still would have been horrible, but there were three or four balls that just went through hands by the receivers. Otherwise, nothing even close to a receiver.
Crockett had a reasonable game running the football. He ran for 145 yards, but some of that was when, you know, the outcome had long been determined, and they're thinking, yeah, you want to run? Go ahead, run. They have no offensive weapons. I don't know what where you'd go if you need a quick score. I don't know what you'd do.
I don't know, but really it was frustrating. It was not fun to watch, but well, I felt like I'm going to watch it so I have a little Missouri knowledge because I haven't really seen them this year.
Well, homecoming is this weekend, and people are excited. Middle Tennessee State will be in Columbia.
Yeah. That's a rivalry as old as the game itself.
Nice take. I like it. I like your take.
And I wanted to watch NFL, and I just had no interest, and I watched some of the Packers. I watched the Patriots because I wasn't going to watch the Rams until the end of the game where the Rams let it get away. That was the only enjoyment watching the NFL.
Mm-hmm. I'm stunned at how little interest I have in the NFL. I didn't think I would lose it this badly.
It's hard. I mean,
know. Even my hard fantasy team, I don't have the interest that I once had in it.
It's probably because they suck ass.
No. Well. There's just not a team I can get behind. Maybe that'll happen over time.
They have NFL butt plugs?
Ah.
Maybe that'll pique your interest.
Again, out of context.
You
totally
said it, baby.
I was talking about, like, do they have NFL PSL holders for someone who'd like to spend a lot of money and somebody, and then a separate time we were talking about inappropriate items we shouldn't talk about anymore on the show.
Yeah, I don't
think
so.
I spent 27 years in the National Football League.
Doug, this is a no-spin zone, all right?
Clearly it's an edit zone.
I don't think it's going to get any better, and I don't think, I was thinking about that. Is there a team? Hey, maybe I'll root for the Packers. Nope. Hey, maybe I'll root for the Chiefs. Nope.
No.
Bears, it's just, if it's no. Either there or it's not.
No.
Frank, how are you today?
I don't want to hear him.
The Rammies are now 3-3 for those of you monitoring the situation. Yeah, Ray King.
Oh, hello, Ray.
How about them Cowboys?
We don't care about the Cowboys.
They're 5-1, Doug.
But we don't care about them. Why would we care?
So you want a team to get behind. Why not the Cowboys?
Because I don't like the Cowboys.
Zeke Elliott from the Metro East area.
Yeah, I'll root for him, but not for the club. There are other players from this area playing on NFL teams. It doesn't make me root for that NFL team.
Well, whatever, Doug.
All right.
Nice. Try to give you a team to get behind, you don't even care.
No, I don't. I don't. That's the problem. I don't care.
Don't you find that there are too many Cowboy fans that jumped on when they were the thing and, you know, people really had no reason to root for the Cowboys, only except that they were like the shiny franchise for a while. Doesn't that bother you as a real, true Cowboys fan at all?
No, it doesn't bother me whatsoever. They're America's team. Anyone who wants to root for them can.
How about the fact Jerry Jones worked hard to get the Rams out of St. Louis?
Well, if you're a real Cowboys fan, Doug, you have no respect for Jerry Jones whatsoever. I cannot stand him one bit. He's number two behind Stan Kroenke.
Yeah, but he had a big role in getting the team to L.A. It's another reason not to root for the Cowboys.
Yeah, well, I don't like them. I like the players. The Pliers, Doug.
All right. Well, I think you're twisted.
Hey Tim.
Mm-hmm.
Worked at Wheelhouse this weekend and heard about 20 free dotums.
Really? Do people recognize you now, Ray?
Yeah, a little bit. Kind of
wow,
stuck,
look at this. So that batai, Doug.
How do they recognize you? Is this a strong social media campaign on your part?
I'm a fine-looking specimen, Doug.
I've seen you. I wouldn't go that far.
But since, you know, they're trying to campaign at Wheelhouse, are you going to free dotum then?
No, I won't free them.
Any lesbians in there this weekend, brah?
You gonna suck my ass, Doug?
Ah, put him down. Put him down.
He didn't have time for you because I couldn't get the answer I was looking for. Well, maybe Jared will call in from the wheelhouse.
Ray King has been suspended. Ray King has been suspended a period of 2 days' time. His name is going into the Llewellyn's Pub leather-bound suspension logule.
Thank you, Llewellyn's. Jared from the wheelhouse calls in every Friday with the football picks. And if I'm not mistaken, I got to take a look to make sure, but I think producer Joe went 0-7.
Mm-mm.
He starts peacocking around about going 5-1 the weekend before. I got to double check. Let's see what our games were. Missouri, good football teams. Missouri at Florida. Florida was given 13.5. Producer Joe took the Gers, 0-1. Alabama minus 13 at Tennessee. Alabama shipped it. Producer Joe was on the Volunteers. Ohio State minus 10 at Wisconsin. Wisconsin covered in overtime. Ohio State won it, but Ohio State covered the 10. He was on Ohio State. Rammies Lions pushed. That number was at 3. Falcons at Seahawks. Seahawks minus 6.5. Seahawks won that by, what, 2?
Yeah.
After the controversial no call on the pass interference.
That was bad.
NFL is fixed. And Cowboys at Packers. He was on the Packers minus 4.5. And then his lock of the week was Duke at Louisville. Over 72. I think that finished 24-14. So there it is.
Yeah, but my Troy lock of the week. Ran my streak now to 7 straight years where I haven't missed my lock of the week.
Is that right?
I'm really thinking about putting those things on a recording and charging, what, $4.99 for my lock of the week?
Do we even have a record of what you've picked, or are you just saying that?
No, people keep an eye on it. My people do.
All right.
Let's see. I went 4-2-1 this weekend. So I am 24-23. So nothing all that exciting. But anyway, I really screwed up yesterday. This is kind of an inside baseball, mathematical, nerd, yet sports gambling question on how you should handle this situation. And I really don't get hungover. Anna Marie was laughing at me yesterday because I was hungover, because I don't get hungover. And she does get hungover. And I would say that's one of the numerous strengths of being Irish.
Did she play any loud musical instruments or anything just to further compound your misery?
No. I just...
She didn't break out the cello.
She didn't break out the cello. Keisha Gray plays the cello.
Well, I was thinking cornet or French horn, something in the brass family.
Oh, like the licorice stick, bro?
No, that's a woodwind.
Mm. But we went to Polly Botto's.
Oh, boy. So that was the cool place.
Saturday. And God, that's a good feast. I just can't say it enough how great that restaurant is. Paul's a great guy. Loyal listener of the program, but man, does he have a good thing going. He's a young cat. He's still, I think, early
young
40s,
cat,
if I'm not mistaken.
It's a good place. I've been there.
And it's been open 21 years.
If it's a cool restaurant, the owner's a young cat.
You like that? Yeah.
Can I make a suggestion?
Couldn't have been an old codger. He's a young cat.
You could try it out, but if you want to make it seem like your opinions on eateries stands out, call it a restaurant.
Oh,
like
restaurant-y?
Restaurant.
Restaurant.
Yes, thank you.
Okay, Doug.
Like, you ever notice that when people give reviews or they're giving, it's a food critic, they don't say restaurant. They say what?
Restaurant.
Say it like that.
Paul Mano is one of the best restaurants I've been to.
That's it. It's two syllables, and the last syllable is runt. Restaurant.
Runt.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So we went there, had my whole family, me brothers, me sisters, me parents, and... my father-in-law and my mother-in-law, and that's the way I like it. I like the group together. It's perfect. It was wonderful. It was for my birthday, the first time we get together since my birthday, and had a wonderful feast. Doug, guess what I had? You want to take a guess?
Oh, chicken spadini.
No, it's Billy G's.
How about the veal?
No.
Veal's best in the city.
Lamba.
You had lamba at the restaurant.
That's correct.
Lamba. And lamba is L-A-M-B-A?
No, L-A-M-B.
That's lamb. You had the lamb.
Why is the B on there then?
Where do the Packers play?
They played at home.
Lambeau.
Exactly.
Is there a difference?
Yep.
Could you have the lamba at Lambeau?
So if you're saying it's not pronounced properly, then it would be Lambeau Field. So lamba.
Yeah,
so I had the lamba. But either way... I had a few glasses of wine with me feast, and then I had action on two games. I put a small taste on the over on the Dodgers and Cubs. And then I also had Wisconsin plus 10 or 11. And so after the feast, and by God, Doug, was it a feast?
Yeah, that's what I'm hearing.
I pony up to the bar.
Did the Lamba?
Had the Lamba. I did. How'd you know? With Anna Marie. And God, in hindsight, I feel like I need to text Paulie to apologize. Because when Adrian Gonzalez got the base hit off of Chapman in the eighth, I started cheering. And I think, and then like 2 minutes later, I think to myself, what an ass. Well, Anna Marie goes, what are you doing? Because I'm in the middle of an effing restaurant.
Yeah.
There you go.
Thank you. And I'm clapping like I'm in some like hole in the wall, like the winds are in on Hampton or something.
Like you're a child, like a self-absorbed
child. Absolutely. Okay. Or that.
Mm-hmm. So to be really cool, let me get this straight, just kind of summarize. To be really cool, you go to a nice restaurant.
Yes.
Run by a cool cat.
Lil Young.
You order the Lamba. And after the feast, you pony up and you cheer because the small taste that you had is going well for you.
It did right
this
there.
This is what you do when you've got it all together.
The number, I think, was 7.5. So I had a taste on there. I wouldn't say it was necessarily a small taste. It was a nice taste.
Nice little taste.
And then I had that separately, and then I also parlayed it with Wisconsin, plus 10 or 11, whatever the number was. It covered. And then when Montero hit the Grand Slam, I shipped it, which put me in a really good place. You know, I want the Dodgers to win because long term I have the Dodgers at 7.5 to 1 to win the World Series. I placed that at the start of the playoffs. But at that time, short term return on investment was critical. So the Montero home run put me over, and then the Wisconsin situation was good and they wound up covering. So, but either way, and with the benefit of hindsight, I acted like a complete ass at the bar because I was clapping when Gonzalez got the hit and I'm in a nice restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, I'm a South City thug. And I'm in West County, and they're probably already looking at me because they can see my peach fuzz mustache and my poverty on my face. And so yeah, I'm already...
Sure.
You had poverty on your face.
I do.
Etched across your furrowed brow?
That's right. So from there, we go to Billy G's because...
How cool can one evening get?
Because...
Did you shoot over there?
I did. Well, Ryan...
Of course.
Ryan Kelly was there, and he had texted me. And a compadre of mine, the counselor, he was there. And so we went up there and we had ourselves some booze. So we continued the evening.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, I'm hungover yesterday. And I haven't been hungover in a long time. I mean, for the reals. So here's what I do, Doug. I got to look up my bet history. So I place a five-team parlay, total just degenerate move, for $25. But it pays like $600. So whatever the odds are on that, I don't know. It's a five-team parlay. I'm on the Patriots. I love the Patriots because I think they're going to just go outside of what the NFL normally does, which is weird things with spreads, and they're just going to cover all year long and kind of go Dr. Tom Osborne on other teams. So I've got the Patriots. I've got the over on the Saints and the Panthers. That ships. I've got the over on the 49ers and the Bills. That ships. There was another one. I had the Lions and Rams. That pushes, but my parlay's still alive. And then I needed the Giants to win by 3.5. And so when Odell Beckham Jr. broke out for receiving yard 222, that allows me to cover that. So at that point, I've won the five-game parlay. I guess it paid 4-1 there. Either way, it was still a nice amount of money for a $25.
You were in the shipping lane.
I was in the shipping lane. So that's great. But like I said, I'm a little hungover, and I'm not thinking like I normally would think, and I'm a little out of it, and I'm sitting on my couch just kind of playing poker and watching football. And fortunately, doing well. But then, here's the mistake. Here's the sport. At least I think this is a sports gambling mistake. Now, this depends on where you are on things. So not only did I have, let's see, I had the Patriots minus 9. I had the Giants minus 3.5. I had the over on the Panthers and Saints at 53.5. The over on the 49ers and Bills at 44. The Rammies, I had the Lions minus 3 against the Rammies. That pushed. And then I had a six-game parlay that included the Chiefs and Raiders over at 46. That was $25 that was going to pay $1,310. Really nice hit.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm 5 for 5 at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And so here's what you got to do. At least I think you got to do. Don't you think? You got to put like 600 or 650, whatever it is, on the under on the Raiders and Chiefs to assure profit. And I failed to do that.
You failed, yeah. Well, you were hungover.
And so I wasn't thinking. Now, is that what you're nodding?
It's exactly what you
do. Yeah, that's exactly what you do. I mean, that was just a terrible effing miss. And so while I'm thrilled that the weekend was quite profitable, courtesy of Miguel Montero's home run in Wisconsin on Saturday, and then the five-game parlay, and I also bet on the Patriots, and then I teased the Patriots and Saints thing, so that those all won, I can't help but kick myself for a self-inflicted wound on not betting half of, or at least something, it doesn't have to be specifically half, of the over or the under, excuse me, on the Chiefs Raiders to assure profit, because at that point you're 5 for 5 and you're guaranteed to win if you bet. Isn't that the move? I mean, is that what the standard sports gambling play would be? I mean, because I only had 25 on, so I can bet 600 or whatever and win.
Well, yeah, that's exactly what
guaranteed 600.
That's exactly what you do.
It's a total stupid thing.
Yeah, I did it once on a Final Four game that I had a team to win it all before. I mean, that's different because you're just betting a team to win. But then you say, okay, now I go with the other team. But the other team, you're given points. So I ended up losing both bets because the team lost, and then they didn't cover the spread on the other side. So, but you bet an over-under line. I mean, you can't lose.
Yeah.
So
it was terrible. And on top of it, they scored a lot of points early on. So I'm sure the live bet total was probably the over-under went up into the 50s. I had it at 46. So I could have actually hit a sweet spot had they gotten to like between 47 and whatever the number went to live. So I can't help but kick myself. And you know what that tells you, Doug? You know what the lesson on that is?
No.
The demon booze. She will slay you and cost you dollars.
She did in this case, didn't she?
Yeah, I got nobody to blame but myself.
Boy, I really think you're dwelling on the wrong thing, partner. Let me tell you why. You use the word profitable weekend. You made some money. That's fine. But from a human level, you profited by being with family and friends at some very cool establishments, including Billy G's, and then you enjoyed fellowship of our radio station listeners at the golf tournament. Let me tell you something. Your profit margin is good from a human level.
Wow.
Well, that's certainly putting a nice friendly spin on it. Nice. Yeah.
I mean, you ran a beautiful golf tournament.
I didn't have a damn thing to do with it.
It looked like a well-oiled machine. You know what? Doug and I were taking some of the, they had tacos, right?
As part
of the
meal. Billy G's.
And Doug and I were trying to getting 7, 8 and hiding them, hoping that there would be a shortfall and that somehow you would be, but it didn't happen because they had plenty of food, I guess. But we were hiding tacos everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Well, the food was good. It was great. It was fine, yeah. Everything was nice. Yeah, perfect day.
And I got to see Jay Jr. in his element. As a
running a golf
tournament. Yeah.
I mean, you got a Jay Jr., this Danny Packer, I'm telling you.
I'm hearing good things.
I am telling you, buy stock in Danny Packer.
Danny Packer.
He's outstanding. Boy, we luck boxed that one, man. He just stumbled in. We stumbled into that. He came in as an intern, and this guy, I'm telling you, Doug, buy stock in Danny Packer.
What's he doing?
He runs a tight ship, man.
What ship is he running?
Well, he ran the golf tournament.
Oh,
really? I mean, don't get me wrong, it wasn't Dan by himself, but he certainly played a key role in it. That's the thing. So I want to make it clear. Yeah, I had nothing to do with the golf tournament.
Well, you look great in the pictures I saw.
No, I look good. Don't get me wrong. Yeah. I mean, I look really good.
There's not just anybody who puts on a tournament and calls it the Tim McKernan Lemming Open and can pull it off in that fashion.
Thank you.
And there was a trophy awarded to the winning lemming?
Yeah, Drew Jolly of Mike Lee's Milkmen, and he poured booze into the chalice at Hot Shots in Bridgeton, where the award ceremony was, and We Are Live was broadcasting. And then he drank out of it, and then he handed it to me. And I go, I ain't drinking your backwash brah.
Brah, you called him.
And he goes, no, I just poured it in. I go, I don't know. I don't know if I want to do that.
Was it brackish backwater? Bay?
I mean, I guess in hindsight, it looked just like beer, but I didn't feel like it was the sanitary thing. Plus, I had a mild case of herpes on the left side of my lip.
Well, yeah, you don't want to drink after you, for sure.
And you're not sure if he washed the thing out. He might have just been caught up in the moment and then could have been dusty. It might have been dust mite larva in the
dust
trophy.
Mite larva.
Yeah, I've seen that many times.
You have larva that are incubating in your jaw proper.
And earwigs that are boring through your
So you did the right thing.
Thank you. Well, congratulations to Drew and Mike Lee's Milkmen. They were right behind our group, and we'd be hitting our second shot, and their ball would come sailing past us like 75 yards. And I go, who the hell's on this team?
There are some blind shots on that course.
Yes, there are.
Stay awake.
Now, you got to play.
I played the 3 or 4 holes.
And you guys were 4 under when you were on.
Well, I think probably a little better than that. 6 or 7 under, maybe.
It's almost mathematically impossible.
I suspect, well, not if you hit them long and straight.
Did you change? Because you said you had brought Daisy Dukes to wear on the court.
Oh, did you change at the changing station?
I didn't have any clothes or shoes. I was wearing my loafers out there.
Doesn't matter. If you got game, you got game.
Yeah, that's what everyone was saying after they saw me hit a few.
He got game. She got game. Where's the game in life?
The course just isn't long enough to hold me power. But, you know, I did the best I could. I pulled up a little bit. You know, club down. That's what I usually have to do off the tee.
He's got all the clubs in the sack. He's got the mashie, the mid-mashie. He's got the spoon, driver, flat stick.
Tim, I was hungover yesterday, too. Thanks. Stephen Wildwood.
Boy, you guys are great.
You know what? Stephen Wildwood just got himself suspended for that. For ultra-eliminating Stephen Wildwood, you've been suspended. You've been suspended a period of 2 days' time. You don't necessarily have to be just like Tim.
Tim, I'll bet you $100 you're a good kisser. You're the best. It's from Beef Momo.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me.
You look good in your brown loafers up on the tee box.
Mm-hmm. It's a nice look. Would like to have some spikes on the bottom of those.
Oh, you were spikeless in Seattle?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Were you slipping around, baby?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah.
That probably added strokes to your game.
Well, no, you just have to adjust is all you have to do. You have to adjust.
You go to MacGyver to get some crazy glue and some tees, and you snip off the bottom and you glue them on the... That's how you make spikes. I've seen it done.
Yeah, sure.
Chrissy Blake said you were hitting it like 280. Now, that could have been exaggerating, but that's what she said.
280?
She said, he walked right up on the tee, first shot in loafers, pipe went 280.
Well, it was a short par four and almost went in the hole. Almost went in the hole.
You almost had a hole in one on a par four?
Yeah. It started
what
at
hole
eight,
is it?
Eight.
God, I got a picture in my mind.
It couldn't have been more than 250. And we had about a 10-foot putt for an eagle, and of course missed it.
Well, I hope that you take a page from this book, and in the future when you golf, you wear those cheap loafers, and that's what you're playing.
Yeah.
I know what hole you're talking about. You were on the green?
I expect a lot of people were on the green on that hole. You know.
We just had a really short chip, but you were on the green?
Yeah, just past the hole.
From the white tees?
We couldn't see the green when we hit it.
From the white tees? That was your drive?
I guess.
Were you playing the white tees?
Yeah.
Wow. Dude.
Well, it must have been a friendly rule. We couldn't see it. I didn't know where the ball was after we hit it, and we got up there, and it was about 10, 12 feet past the hole. It might have almost gone in.
I think that hole was playing like 297.
I don't think I've hit many balls 297 anymore.
Give yourself a little credit.
You almost
got a hole in one on a tough hole there,
buddy. On a par four.
Easy hole. Short par four.
But it's a par four.
Well, you know, you've seen me play. I'm not a big hitter. I'm long and straight in the bedroom, not always in the golf course.
Clip it off. Clip it off now.
What did he just say?
I heard it, and the Plowhawk's getting it right now for your entertaining purposes. Tim, major props to Jay Jr. as well. I thought the course was great. Look forward to going back. Bearcats, I agree. Jennings Jr. deserves a lot of credit.
Yeah.
Big time.
That's a fun course. It is a fun course. It's not so long and dastardly that you leave there exhausted and feeling like I don't like golf anymore. But it's fun. It's still challenging. It's a fun course.
And a credit to our listeners. The loyalty of the listeners. Raising money for Three Little Birds for Life. Donating throughout the course of the day. Up at Hot Shots, hanging out. It was a great thing. Tip of the cap, man.
Mm-hmm. Why don't we do that every Friday?
It's not a bad idea.
I'm sure it's, 10, 12 minutes worth of work to whip that all together? And then you just show up and play.
There's a lot of signage.
You know,
each hole had like a little station nearby, right?
Mm-hmm.
You got to set all that up, though.
No, I don't know. Yeah. No, it's
for you who just
it's a lot of work,
who just steps up and rips it 300 yards. It might seem like you can just jump into everything, but it's not the way it is.
Yeah.
Guys, do you know if anybody posted up underneath the porta potty off number 6 at Normandy? Thanks. It's from the 314.
Posted up at the port looking to meet somebody?
Well, we have had a listener before post up under a porta potty.
Right? Actually, in it.
Oh,
proper.
In it.
In it, if you recall.
I was saying, it's not that classy to hang around a porta potty looking to meet somebody.
Matter of opinion.
Like, if you were meeting someone at a golf tournament, you could say, hey, I'll meet you at the porta potties on 6. I'm sure that's happened before.
Yeah, well, if you can think of it, it's probably happened. It's just not that classy.
Doug, we did the same thing on 8, hit the green. It was playing short.
It was very short. Yeah. That may have been the first time in my life I've ever driven the green on a par 4.
Look at you.
How many people have? It's not something that happens.
I drove
every
the green in a par four at the Highlands. You know what I didn't even know what the Highlands was. It used to be AAA at Forest Park. I played there with Cal Kennedy the weekend before.
Oh yeah, yeah. I've never played that course.
And Frank DeLange.
Oh, sure, DeLange.
And Dan Mattingly.
Yeah, all they Gabriel's were all there. Guys. I know they were all there.
Yeah, but this was the weekend before, baby. The weekend before at the Highlands.
That's just as cool a foursome as you could possibly put together.
You think so?
Yeah. And did anybody post up at the porta potty there looking to get lucky?
Flip that off. I think, I don't know whatever it was, but I drove the green on it. And that's rare. So the fact that you haven't played very much and you're driving greens is something that you deserve a tip of the cap for.
Well,
maybe that's what you should do, playing loafers. Maybe it keeps your
balance
right. Maybe
that shaves stroke off your game.
There might be something to that where you don't try to overswing. You just try to swing easy so that you don't lose
free and easy
traction.
And whose clubs were you using? You didn't bring clubs.
Andy Hanselman handed me the club.
Oh, okay. Isn't he left-handed?
No.
Guys, I hit the green on a par four at Riverside.
Yeah, it's possible to do there, too. You're not hitting many at Belle Reve, Old Morrison.
You could use a putter on Riverside.
Because, look, he's got the little thing that's too high on his
head. It's like a Dan Aykroyd cone head.
I lost me earbuds.
What happened? They get swiped?
Yeah, they did.
I apologize for that. Those are... Well,
I got the arch hanging out of my head.
I lent them to...
It's like a little hook if you want to take Doug home for the day.
maybe I'll just pull it up a little higher.
Well, I won't mention names, but I lent them to a girlfriend of a former employee, and she has kind of a long head.
Like a horse head?
What a compliment.
And,
horse
and,
head?
Yeah, and she just... That's why they look like that. They're all pulled down.
Was it Sarah Jessica Parker?
Close.
Wait, you're saying that one wearing by a female with a long head can destroy headphones like this?
Well, look at them.
No,
they're deformed. No. How long a head did this girl have?
As long as that thing is up there and down to your ears, that's what her head looked like.
Kind of like a moon face.
It was like a long horse face.
Oh. Do you find that attractive at all?
It wasn't my girlfriend. She needed a pair of headsets, so I let her borrow mine, and it came back looking like that.
Came back to form.
I couldn't wear them anymore.
No.
Guys, if you play Riverside, don't admit it. Thanks. That's from 314.
I drove a green there once with a putter.
Oh, you didn't?
Yeah, it's just so flat, and there's no grass. All you got to do is just bash one.
You just rolled it
rolls
up
300 yards.
Yeah.
I'm kidding, but close.
Guys, your next tournament should be at Old Warson and the after party at the St. Louis Country Club pool.
There's not much action at that point.
There's not much chance of that ever happening. If we went to those clubs and said, we will give you $10 million to shut down for one day, they would say no thank yous.
Yeah, but if Deke Dotem were there, they might do it.
They wouldn't.
Big Al had a big Friday. Boy, he does hit a 3-wood from like 110 out. What is that about?
Does he really?
Yeah.
He has a little feathery touch.
I don't know what the deal is.
Backs it up a little bit.
He was with PGA Pro Dan, and they were sending me pictures. And then I got the weirdest damn picture. I had to post it on the fan page. PGA Pro Dan sent me a picture of Big Al. It's really effing weird. He's massaging Hannah. Of the Inside STL news team. Look at.
And was she wildly screaming to try to get away?
How do I get this damn?
Boy, I would feel bad for any female at
here,
this.
Here's the cat, so you can see, so you can say on the air that I'm not making this up. I don't know why it won't open, but you can still see it.
Yeah, and she her body language says, I'm tense. I don't really know how to deal with this, so I'm just going to go with it for now. But she is tensed up.
I mean, what in the world?
Poor gal.
Now, he smelled like a distillery from the moment he walked in. And he said he didn't get much sleep, and I imagine that he would continue to booze from that point on.
Boy, he hits it hard. He is an Olympian on the party circuit. To be his age and to still have that sort of, ability to just keep it going night after night, that's tough.
And to maintain employment while boozing at every single golf tournament that might come up.
Well, he's selling airplane parts for Boeing. How hard is that? You're building a plane, you're going to need a part, right? Sure.
Still, you have to take the order. You have to enter it into the database, file a report.
Oh, I'm sure the whole thing is 3-4 minutes.
And then you go and booze at the golf
course.
Right,
right.
that we know for sure that that's what he does. Went to the racetrack, first time in 10 years. There he was, right along the rail. He's everywhere. Went to a Blues News conference last year. There he is, right there. Every party that we have, here he is. Everyone.
Carter Hutton.
Well, he hadn't been at any yet. Has he? Why would you say Carter Hutton? Why
Blues.
Would you just say Carter Hutton?
Blues.
All right.
Blues. I just wanted Blues to do what Tim said, that sometimes the Blues fans get mad that we don't.
Exactly.
Oh,
so okay. I just threw that out there.
All right.
It's the only damn fan base I'm aware. Even Missouri fans, for as bat crap as they can be. I go, yeah, we understand.
Yeah, but you can say, what do you mean that 850, we broke down the backup goaltender who played very well against a good team?
Right in the middle of a discussion about Big Al and all the drinking and the partying he's done, you just mentioned Carter Hutton.
Well, you mentioned your Blues News conference.
Well, this was a year ago when they didn't even have Carter Hutton.
Yeah, still, though, they were in love with the idea of Carter Hutton.
Okay. By the way, Robbie Fabry.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Put that on the list, Fabry breakdown.
Heck of a young talent. It's up his wing, down his wing. Ah, yes, wing.
Now, did you see what Plowsy did? I'm watching the Packers, and again, I'm trying to establish some sort of interest in the NFL. But honestly, part of it is like I'm mad at the league, so it's hard. Even if I want to forgive and just enjoy a game, it's hard for me to do that. I'm not trying to sound like a whiner, but it's true. I think probably for a lot of people.
Yeah.
So I'm watching the Packers and Aaron Rodgers. I love his double check commercials and stuff, but it doesn't seem like he's at his best right now. And I'm looking on Twitter, and Plowsy tweets out about gun control.
Yeah, where did that come from? Where the hell did that come from? And I God bless you on hot takes. I don't give a damn. Doug tweets his political opinions. Everybody's welcome to tweet whatever they want. God bless.
I tweet happy birthday to Cardinal players.
You do that as well. But just out of nowhere, like at 4:30 yesterday, the Plowhawk sends something out like, I don't see why anybody in the world needs a handgun. I'm like, oh, have a good time the next couple hours.
And it was one of those weird things. I hardly tweet anymore. If you haven't noticed it, I'm off the tweet trail. I retweet and maybe.
Well, Tim says he doesn't tweet that much anymore. So of course you're going to say you don't.
Well, no,
tweet
I really.
That much.
I used to be very active, and so did now Tim. I haven't been as much. And I just had like a really rough weekend of work. I really was really just stressed out. And then I was reading some stories online about, you know, gun control and then the NRA and then the shootings. And I was like, all right, I'm going to give a hot take and we'll see where this one goes.
How'd it go for you?
And it wasn't bad. I didn't get any hate responses. You know, you had a couple of people that might have disagreed. Mm-hmm. A lot of people responded with just the hot take bell emoji, which I appreciated.
Sure.
And just a bunch of retweets. Nothing. I mean, and if you want to hate on it, that's fine. I didn't. You know, it's your opinion, and I'm not going to block you or delete you for it. But so far, the response hasn't been as negative as I anticipated. I just wanted to go off, and I wanted to tweet that out there and then just, you know, stir the pot.
I think a lot of people like you, and I think they gave you a pass because they realized the Packers were looking awful.
Was it the right time to ridicule me about my tweet?
Right.
What do you have against Charlton Heston?
I don't know about that reference.
That's not a wrestler, it's an actor.
He's a 112-year-old actor that is an advocate of the NRA.
He played Moses and Ben-Hur.
Oh, okay. I have no
damn
thoughts on
dirty these. Apes.
That's oh, what yeah, Planet of the Apes. Yeah.
Doug, I posted a picture of Big Al giving the massage to Hannah, the PGA Pro Dan sent me. We discussed it when I was on We Are Live on Friday afternoon. Yeah, you feel bad for Hannah.
Her lawyer's probably interested in the
really
picture as
do.
Well.
It's on the fan page, TMA fan page on Facebook if you're not currently a member. Let's see what the poor thing writes. Jennings writes, nothing like young love. Mm. Ray Bozarth. You know Ray Bozarth?
No.
He said, she looks terrified. Zachary Durkas says, I'm uncomfortable just looking at this. Brian Hudson says, that's because she is terrified. Tommy Carlskin, so effing creepy.
Oh, yeah, Skinsey.
Charlton Heston died in 2008, but as I understand it, his spirit still lives on
as
an advocate.
Of course. You think she regrets getting into this, Hannah? Poor Hannah. You got Mike Lee going pretty strong to the hoop. You got
pretty strong to the hoop.
Timber fake, begging for the datey one.
It's her birthday today. Oh, and what a great birthday present it is to have Big Al come up from behind and just give you a massage that you didn't ask for.
Mm-hmm. Sitting on a golf court.
Can you imagine our listeners? And there weren't a ton of females there. There were some. But if you're a female and our listeners have a couple of drinks in them, and suddenly everyone becomes Don Juan.
Yeah, it's like bringing a girl to the prison yard.
Yeah, Anna Marie texted me. Spot. She was driving around the course with Melissa Marr.
Marr Banks.
That's right. Senior account executive inside STL Enterprises. And she texted me like with a couple of holes left. She goes, I don't know what's going on, but things are getting super creepy at hole number 5.
Could have seen that coming. Was that right where the porta potty was? Guys hanging out looking to meet someone?
Was that the Twin Peaks
hole? That was the Twin Peaks hole, yeah.
Yeah, there was a lot going on there.
Yeah. Guys, we'll be right back. I'm opening Twitter for an 8-tweet hate response to the Plowboy. That's from Fractured Lime Fairy Tales. Hey, Tim, if you get stressed and need a bat neck rub during the show, let me know. I'll leave work. Thanks, KG in O-Town.
Sure, I will.
Gabe DeArmond's coming up at 8:30. Your thoughts are welcome by texting in 855-CUB-TALK or emailing in the morning after at InsideSTL.com. This is the Ryan Kelly Morning After on the all-new 590 The Fan KFNS Live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios.